Peter's house and says, hey, Cornelius, this God-fearer, he has a good reputation among the Jews. He wants you to come to his house. Now, verse 28 is important because it gives us what Peter finally figured out about his vision. So let's, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to turn there real quick. Verse 28 tells us exactly what Peter understood his vision to mean. Because here's what he says to Cornelius. He says, he shows up and he says, you yourself know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So here's what's going on. The reason why Cornelius had to send for Peter, he couldn't just go talk to him. And the reason why Peter is telling him, look, you know it's not lawful. He's giving him this explanation. During this time period, a Jew could not enter in the house of a Gentile. They could do business together in the marketplace. They could do government business, merchandise business. They could learn from each other. But when it came down to it, a Jew was not to have a deep relationship that extended to their home with a Gentile. That was considered taboo. Now, when Peter says, now you know that it's unlawful, he's not saying it was against the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law always made provision for people who were not Jewish to be a part of Israel and to worship the one true God. In fact, Israel's job as a nation was to be a light to other nations and draw them to worship the one true God. And they failed at doing this. After the exile, when they returned back to the land, a movement grew up of isolationism, where they created a culture and a tradition of separating themselves from Gentiles and not having anything to do with them. And so what God had told Peter was, with this vision, you have some man-made cultures and traditions that I didn't tell you to do. Because what you're doing by separating yourself out from these Gentiles is you are saying these human beings are common. They're not, God has nothing to do with them. And that's not true, Peter. That's what Peter got from this vision. Now, this was a challenge. This was a change. Peter had to change his culture. This was him turning upside down his culture, his tradition, his understanding of how God works in the world and how he's supposed to interact with other people. All that had to change. But it had to change so the gospel could spread, because that's what this was about. It wasn't change for change's sake. Change in and of itself is not necessarily a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It depends what you're changing. And what he changed here was the barriers that kept him from spreading the gospel. Because biblical truth doesn't change. That you look at, and you can go and read yourself verses 34 through 43. What he shares here, this message that Peter shares with this Gentile and other Gentiles that were around, was a message that didn't change. He didn't have to change it because he was going to people who weren't Jewish. It's the same message they've been telling Jewish people. It was a timeless truth. And so, some things change and some things ought not to change. But because the right things were changed and the right things were kept unchanged, the gospel spread. Look at verses, I'm going to read you verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who'd come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. You see, What is actually taking place here is the gospel was spread. It changed. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties here. if you're able, throw up the next slide, or if not, we'll move on. All right. Well, our slides are done. Nope, there we go. We're back. All right. Here we go. All right. Sorry about that. Here's what I want you to know from this passage. Here's what you need to take away. Some things that Peter were holding that he thought were he was doing for God and for Jesus had to change because they were standing in the way of him bringing the gospel. Some things didn't need to change. Otherwise, he wouldn't have a gospel to share. If everything changes, then we've got nothing to share. We've got nothing unique. We've got nothing to bring to the world. So by keeping a balance of knowing the things that ought to be changed and having an open hand, these things are things that we don't, these are not hills worth dying on. These are things that we change. And knowing what things we keep in a closed hand, these things don't change. Because if we change these, we lose everything that we stand for. By knowing the difference between the two, the gospel exploded on the scene here. Because up to this point, all your church that existed was Jewish. This is the turning point of Christianity where it spread to non-Jews. Without those two things being held in tension, those that can be changed and we keep an open hand, and those that we keep a closed hand with and we don't change, without knowing the difference, the gospel wouldn't have spread to the whole known world, and you and I wouldn't be sitting here this morning. We are recipients of this change that took place in the early church. Now I want to talk about how this applies to you and I, how this applies to our church here. The best way I know how to do this is to do an analogy. Many of you either have personally had this discussion with the doctor, or you know somebody, well, there are really three options. Either you've had this discussion with the doctor, you know somebody who has, or you just haven't lived long enough yet, okay? But you know, so this is the discussion that some people have. I've got family members who've had this discussion. Lord willing, it'll be several years, and hopefully I won't have to have this discussion. But a doctor sits down with somebody and says, "Look, we've got to talk about your health. Where you're at right now, if you continue where you're going, you have a few more years left. Maybe. You may only have a few months. That's just where you are. And so here are your options. We can make you comfortable, and if you don't want to change, you're not going to move forward with this, you're not going to make any drastic decisions, we can just continue doing what you're doing. We can make you comfortable, and so that way the end isn't as painful. Or you could make some changes, make some adjustments to your eating habits, your exercise. You start getting more healthy in your lifestyle, and we can extend your life by several years. And you may live to see a ripe old age, but you have a decision to make. We're at that place as a church. As a pastor and as your leader, that's where we are. Now, it's not, the sky isn't falling. Okay, let me start by saying that. There's still a lot of great things God is doing in our church. I'm not trying to demean that in any way. I can look back on this past year, and there's some amazing things God has done in us and through us. But we are kidding ourselves if we don't realistically see where we're at. And so I want to spend a minute sharing that with you. And then I want to share some positives, because we need to have those in mind and remain thankful and look at the donut and not the donut hole. Okay? I love that Cindy shared that this morning, because you need to keep that in mind as we talk about this. But we need to have one of those conversations. So because this is the most accurate numbers I have, I have a chart here. This is the past 35 years in our church. This is the attendance for Sunday school. Now, I know not everyone attends Sunday school, but your Sunday school can tell you a lot of things about the health of your church. What I have is back, if you look here on the far right, this is 1980. And so at that point in the history of our church, we had 160 people attending Sunday school. So this wasn't enrollment. This was people that actually came to Sunday school in our church. And Sunday school is where discipleship happens. where a lot of our relationships are deepened, at least in the history of Baptist life in the last 50 years. That's where that happened. And so this is where our church was 35 years ago, actually. This past year, if I'm not mistaken, our average for Sunday school attendance was 38. So this red line shows you the trend that we're on. If we continue this trajectory in 35 years, 10, 15 years is about the lifespan of our church, to be honest. But before we have to start making some serious, drastic changes, we've got about 10 years. Now, like I said, the sky isn't falling. The Lord is not done with our church, because he's still doing some awesome things. I think about this summer with our mission trip where we took 18 people, and we saw God do some amazing things through our folks who were willing to be used of God and impact an area for Christ, impact people for Christ. One of those churches wrote us a letter and sent us a $200 check a few weeks ago to say, "We just thank you for coming out and doing the revival." It was actually the smaller church we helped out. They wrote us to say, "Thank you. Here's $200. Use as you see fit. We want to let you know that what you did has sparked movement in our church we haven't seen in years. We've done 2 baptisms since you've left. We haven't done any in the last 3 years. And so God's doing some things in our church. But we can't continue doing the things the same way we've always done them, because if you look at 35 years of that, it's gotten us where we are. To move forward and do the same may get us another 10, and I believe the Lord has envisioned for us another 100 years. So we have to decide what to do. And so the reason why I went to this passage is I think it addresses what we need to talk about as a church, and I want to share them with you this morning, and just talk about it real quick, and then leave you with a few things that we need to pray about. Change and unchange. We need to determine what needs to change, what we keep in our open hand. It's an illustration I'm using from another pastor. What we need to keep in an open hand and say, "God, if you want the gospel to spread in this community, you want people reach for Christ, you want people transform, families transform, our community transformed by Jesus Christ, by using us to do it." That's what the church is here to do, is to know Christ and to make him known. Then what do we need to change? At the same time, holding on to that which doesn't change, the truth of Scripture. So we've got to hold that balance in place of some things don't change. Just because culture says that they don't like what some of the things Bible teaches, that's always been true. It just, the things change. The things that culture doesn't like about the Bible changes over time, but the Bible doesn't change. We hold fast to what Scripture teaches about morality, ethics, all those things, especially the gospel. But when it comes to that which we use to get this truth to other people and to help people know Christ deeper, that does change. It needs to change. It has to change for the gospel to spread. And so here's what this may mean for us. Change is one of those words that can be really scary, and here's what it might mean for us. Because change and unchange. That may mean, I want to talk about change so we get rid of some of the mysticism or some of the scariness of the word. For us, that means some things we do differently. That may mean doing some things differently, which I don't think we're opposed to doing, but we need to figure out what those are, and we'll talk about that plan later. It means some things that don't work at all, we scrap. We look at them, we have to be able to honestly say, you know what, we're not going to give up what we stand for. That doesn't change. But if we look at something and say, this is not working, and this really, we don't know how to fix it, it may mean it needs to go away. It may mean that we tweak it a little bit. I know that's not up there. It may just mean tweaking it and revamping it and still doing what we do, just doing it a little different, which ties into the first one. It may mean doing new things, which we've tried this past year. Some things have worked, some things that haven't. But we tried to do new things. It definitely will mean leaving our comfort zone. And this is where this really comes home. Change means leaving our comfort zone. It means sacrificing our preferences. But the reason why we leave our comfort zone, the reason we are empowered to sacrifice our preferences, is because we're able to let go of what we cherish, because we cherish Jesus more. Because that's really what this all comes down to. It's about Him. Our church is about Him. Our mission is about Him, to know Him and to make Him known. And your life ought to be about Him. And so what will help us through evaluating these things in months to come is saying, do I love this thing that we're talking about more than Jesus? Because if you do, you've got it backwards. It's there to help us accomplish our mission for Jesus, because we love Him more than even the things we try to do for Him. So that's what change entails. Here's the plan. So I've shared with you a little bit about change and unchange things, but here's the plan for our church. I don't know what changes need to happen. So we need to, and I think most of you would agree, well, we need to do something. I've heard that phrase very often in the last year, but we just don't know what to do. Well, we need a process. We need a process to figure that out. And that's what this plan is. It's just a process for us to figure out and identify what we need to change. Me and Brother Billy are going to be working with a team of people. Now, this team is not going to make any decisions about what changes, and or we're going to change this and we're going to change this. This team is just going to help us identify things. And they're just going to be members of the church, leaders in the church, with Brother Billy and myself. And for 13 weeks, starting in January, after the first of the year, we're going to start on Sunday mornings during the preaching service, looking at 13 major things that we need to embrace as a church. Basically, getting back to basics. What 13 things do we need to be about as a church to help us do our mission that have to be the pillars of our church? And I and Brother Billy's going to be helping me with a few of those sermons. We're both going to be preaching that. And during that 13-week period, we are going to be meeting with this team on Sunday night before our evening service. So that we'll be meeting about 5 o'clock with this team. And this team will help us apply whatever was preached on that morning. The first week, we'll be talking about the Old Testament, the importance of Scripture. That'll be the first week, just to let you know. That night, the team would meet, and then we'd say, look, this is what we need about. We need to embrace this. How are we doing as a church getting the Bible out to our folks? What is there anything we need to look at, maybe not completely throwing out the window, but maybe? It may be that we need to revamp. We need to improve some things. What are those things? And during that meeting, we just identify them. That's it. We do that for 13 weeks. At the end of that 13 weeks, we're going to come to the entire church and say, here are the things that the leaders in the church think we ought to change. We don't know what those changes are, but here's the things we want to change. We're going to have them prioritized. Then the church, you are the church, will have opportunities to ask questions. To ask, you know, if there's anything on there you have concerns about, if there's something you feel like was overlooked, you'll have an opportunity to give input, because we want as much input as we can get. And then we're going to spend at least 3 years, maybe as much as 5, implementing those changes. So what we need to do as a church is not come in and just start drastically turning over tables. There may be a few things that need to be changed quickly, but for the most part, it needs to be done it's going to take time. It needs to be done well, and you need to be behind it. And so that's going to take time. And so we don't want to rush into anything. We want to take our time, and we want the leaders of the church and the structure we have in our church to help us decide on, okay, here's what this would look like. Because it's not my place to come in and say, all right, we're going to change everything. Because it's, you know, I could be struck down dead next week, and then those changes just don't stick. Things go back to the way they were, and the church is no better off with me leading than were before. And my goal is that this process would happen so the gospel would spread, so that new life would be breathed into our church as the gospel connects with people in our community who need Christ. The truth is, there are a lot of people in our town who do not have Jesus. And we need, as the church, we need, this is including myself, but including you, need to bring the gospel to them. And so, without doing that, we can't grow. Not in a way that's not the kind of growth that will last another 100 years. And so, that's my hope and my prayer, is that that you will be aware of that. I didn't want to just start off the first Sunday in January saying, "All right, here's what we're doing." I wanted you to be aware that we as a church are going to be starting a process of just evaluating our ministry, the mission that we have to know Christ and to make Him known, and saying, what are we doing, and is that helping us accomplish our mission or not? We will, in that process, we'll be identifying things that just don't change, because those things matter most. They're in Scripture. They're unmovable. And then identifying the things that do. We'll be maintaining that balance, but we're going to be doing that. So here's what I would ask you to do. The three things I want you to do going away from this service. The reason I'm sharing this is not to bum you out for the holidays, but you need to feel a sense of urgency. This can't just rest on a few people in our church, because the church is not this building. It's not just what we do on Sunday morning. It's all of you. We need you as a church to pray for our church, to pray for our leaders, and pray about your place in the church. It's not a coincidence that you're here. You're needed. You're needed in this congregation. You're a valuable part of who we are. God has put us at a great place where I know several churches who are having to start this process that have about, in fact, I know of one church in particular has 2 years left. They've looked at their finances and where they are, and they know at the end of 2 years they won't be able to keep their doors open. We're not at that place. God is not. We're at that moment where we can actually make some significant changes and do it in a way that is not drastic and radical and making crazy decisions for the most part. God may lead us to do something like that down the road, but we don't know. But we're not in the place where we have to do that. We're still at a place. God has blessed us richly in that we can plan together, we can talk, we can get input, and we can move forward in a timely fashion, but not overnight. And so the Lord has blessed us greatly in that way. But we'd ask for you to pray, because I think you, because you're here, want to see this church be here another 50, another 100 years. And so the second thing I would ask is for you to examine your heart. This is a difficult process. I grew up, at least most of my childhood or half my childhood, in a church where my great-great-grandfather pastored it. I'm still related to most of the people who go to that church. I love that church very much. There are things that I did in that church that drastically changed my life, that made me the person I am today. There are people in that church who sacrificially gave to make some of the programs possible that we had, that changed so many lives in that community. But at the end of the day, I have to ask myself, is there anything in the church that means more to me than Jesus? Is there anything in the church that means more to me than seeing people in our community reached by Jesus? Because if they are, then I've got to lay that at the feet of the cross and repent. Ask God to help me love Him more than the things that I want to do for Him. And then finally, now this is a thing we, as leaders in the church, as pastors in the church, are going to be working with you to help equip you, give you the resources to do this well. But I'd ask you to begin trying to do this even now. The only way that we as a church are going to grow and going to is, there may be some things that need to change, but ultimately what has to change is our hearts and our view of what we do as members of this church. And your primary job as a member of this church is to share the gospel with people around you. This is the job of every Christian. God has strategically put you in his grand scheme of things, where you are, in the family that you're in the relationships that you have, in the neighborhood you have, at the job you may cannot stand, so that you could be there, and not anybody else, you, so you can bring the gospel to people that no one else in this church can reach with the gospel. We need you to start doing this. And if you have concerns about that, or you don't feel like you're equipped, we're here to help you with that. We are going to do some training here in the weeks to come that will help equip you to do this and for you to be confident in what to do. And so that you're not having to worry about, I don't even know what to say. We'll help you with that. But I would ask that you would begin to, at the very least, if you don't feel like you can, or maybe you just don't, look, sometimes we just have to own the fact we don't care enough. We don't care enough. And you know what? We need to be brave enough to see that in our heart and ask Jesus to change it. And so that's what I'm asking you to do, is those three things. Examine yourself. Pray. All of this is going to take prayer anyway. Pray for our church, the future of the church. Examine your own heart. And share Jesus if you have a passion for that. If you don't have a passion for that, ask God to give you a passion for the lost people in our community who don't know Jesus. Because without that concerted effort together, we don't have a future. So, during our time of invitation, I'd ask you to just pray where you're at. And after you're done praying, continue singing with us. If you need to pray down here, there's something that God's burdened you with, I'll pray with you down here. Maybe you've realized, I don't know that I can share Jesus because I don't know that I've ever had him. We want to make sure you have him. You know him as your Lord, as your Savior. You've given him your life before you leave this place. So I'd be happy to meet with you, talk with you about that. But I'm going to pray over you, and I'd ask that you stand, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Lord Jesus, I ask that you bring to our minds what Cindy had shared with us earlier about the donut. That we would look at the donut and not the hole, because you are not finished with our church. You are still working in us and among us and through us. You still desire to see people won in our community to the Lord. You desire to see people saved and lives transformed. And we know this is true because you haven't returned yet. You're still in heaven right now. You haven't returned yet. And so we're not done. If we're still drawing breath, we're not done. Help us to see that. Fortify us with this truth that we are not finished. That you have a grand plan for us. We just want to figure out what that is. So I ask that you would help us to walk together through this process to begin determining what it is you want for the future of this church, so that we can see you at work in us and among us, for us to know you more and to make you known in this community for